Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening or will be listening over the internet from around the world. In this session, we're going to be thinking in terms of search every corner. And our scripture is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the New English version of the Bible because it allows all English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. So Jeremiah 23:1-4. Woe to the shepherds who were destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be faithful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Well, there, of course, he's talking in terms of the Jewish people. But I think it will become clear as to why I'm using that scripture. You see, when I was putting together a brochure about what Sojourners was to be, suddenly the Holy Spirit told me, don't produce a doctrine statement. He says, the doctrines of men divide my body. I will tell you what to say about what those in Sojourners fellowships are to do. In point of fact, this would be something good for any Christian. And that's when I learned that doctrine was not marching orders, but doctrine could cause some challenges. And then I was taken to Jeremiah chapter 23 to the section, Woe to the Shepherds, which I just read. And I've got to tell you, I was shocked because I thought, what have I done that God would rebuke me so strongly? And he said, basically, that it wasn't anything I had done. He says, tell the people they are to do what the shepherds had failed to do. That we were to do what the shepherds have failed to do. The sojourners with you are to be doers and not just hearers. My people are to be people of action. My action through them. So God's action was to move through us. Believer and unbeliever alike are to see my glory flow through the sojourners, through the believers, and to see that in power. So I quickly learned that sojourners' fellowships were not just to be another place to hear a message and go on about your life, but a place that was to impact and change lives. You know, in our scripture today, it's talking about scattered people, and it's talking about the scattered people of Israel. But you know, sojourner believers are active seekers of the lost and floundering that Jesus told us about. He said, if we would seek, we would find. Yes, it's true. Christ came seeking us, and he will continue to seek, though we who are willing, you know, see, if we're willing to follow him in his great commission, he will seek people through us. There are believers who are scattered. Not just are the children of Israel scattered, but believers are scattered here and there around the earth who are disconnected from the body of believers as a whole. They may well be floundering, isolated, languishing after having been ill-taught, ill-received, and ill-treated by poor shepherds. These, you see, people of God, these are people of God. And they're much like the ones of which Jeremiah spoke. Their shepherds have scattered them and driven them away and have not cared for them as the Lord intended. You see, when God put the fivefold ministry in, of course, of which the pastor or the shepherd is only one of the five, The scripture tells us in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Well, this is what was failing to be done, and that many people have had that, they've been failed to be built up when they came to Christ. No one helped them. Nobody helped them understand. And so they ended up being driven away because they weren't cared for the way the Lord intended that they would be. Now, we must change, renew, and refresh them in their minds so that we can fulfill what it says in Romans 12:2. Their minds, for the most part, have never undergone the renewal process because they, either by choice or neglect. Now notice, sometimes it's by choice. Sometimes it is not always because they were abused by some pastor or someone in ministry or some other believer. Sometimes it's by their choice, and I want to make that clear. But other times it is by the neglect of their shepherds. You see? So they were never taught who they were in Christ. I can tell you that every believer needs to know who they are in Christ, because once people find out who they are, they will never, ever be the same again. They won't be struggling through life trying to do everything on their own to be as good a person as they can be, because they will have an active relationship with the Lord, and therein will come the help. Therein will come the resolution. Therein will come everything they need to do what they have been brought into the kingdom to do. Again, that is one of the purposes of the fivefold ministry that I just talked about, and that is they are to prepare people for what they are to do. So, they are unaware of the care and feeding on the Word, these people, many of them who are just out there. And they're unaware of the care and the feeding on the Word that needed to take place when they came to Christ. They, as a result, are not maturing beyond young, vulnerable infancy to what Christ desires for them. You know, each and every one of us has a plan of God for us. And Christ has a desire for what we are to do. And he wants us built up so that we can function and walk in the authority and the power that we have been given through Christ, and being occupied by the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can work through us. This is such an important part of the plan of God, and often this has been neglected. So, as I said, as a result, these people are not maturing beyond young, vulnerable infancy to what Christ desires for them. The enemy may well have entered into their situation, deceiving them into thinking, you see, they're thinking that being disconnected is a proper state. It is never a proper state to be disconnected. We are to be connected. The scripture tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. Well, if we can do that in the demonic, look at the, I mean, if one can do 1,000 and two can do 10,000, see how important it is for people to be connected. And Jesus said, wherever two or three are together, there he is in the midst of them. Well, think about this for a minute. If one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, then it would be reasonable to say that three could put 100,000 to flight. So look at what happens when people become isolated. They are less able. There's nobody interceding for one another. As a matter of fact, their prayers all end up quite often getting down to, bless me, Lord, bless me. This is what I want. Bless me, Lord. This is what I need. Bless me, Lord. And it becomes all about them and not about building the kingdom. It is so important for people to understand this, and that's why the enemy will enter in, and he'll do it as soon as he can, because he wants to stop people from having their minds renewed and from learning the Word and how to utilize the Word, so that they will never find out who they are in Christ. You see, if he can't keep them from accepting Christ, then the next thing he wants to do is keep them from functioning as Christ meant for them to function when they were brought into the kingdom. He wants to paralyze them. You know, the scriptures talk about that the enemy comes in as a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Well, it's a little bit like he wants to put them like in a spider web. If you've ever watched a spider, they'll put up a web and they'll catch something in their web. Well, they won't eat it immediately, but they will paralyze it. They'll hit it with a neurotoxin, and then they'll wrap all of this spider silk around them to keep them cocooned there until they're ready to devour them. This is the very same thing that the enemy wants to do to each and every one of us. If he can't keep us from accepting Christ, then he wants to make us so that we are weak and unable to function in our call to Christ and the life that Christ really meant for and has prepared for each and every one of us. Sadly, these believers are only going to languish possibly in this deception. They may not reach out to unbelievers with the gospel. We're going to be reaching out with unbelievers to unbelievers with the gospel. Well, if you're so spending all of your time just saying, "Bless me, Lord, help me through, this is how bad things are," how are you ever going to reach out to somebody else? And if you did, why would they want a life like yours? You see, we need to have people who know who they are in Christ. And we need to be searching every corner to find people who have already come to Christ, but they're out there just languishing, and they're out there isolated. They're there. Some may even be a part of some congregations, but they go and they sit down with a bunch of people that they do not know, and then they leave. But there's no real life in them. The life of Christ is not what it was meant to be with them. The Holy Spirit is unable to work through them because they keep plugging back into the world and the world's ways. That just does not work. We were saved from that. We are in the world. But yes, we're not of the world. But these people remain of the world in so many ways because their mind has never been renewed, because they've never had the care and feeding on the Word that needed to take place when they first came to Christ. Now, if they do evangelize, they will likely not understand how to affect the renewal process without a congregation of believers. Or they will duplicate themselves as yet another generation of isolates, people who are off someplace by themselves, really doing their own thing and not God's thing, but their intentions are good, but they've really missed the point. They've missed what's supposed to be happening. They've missed what it's all about. And that is so sad, because what they are also doing is they're duplicating themselves if they do happen to bring somebody to the Lord, but they're also demonstrating to the world that, oh, well, it's just not worth it. Oh, well, it's okay, whatever. That's the sort of thing that they're demonstrating. Well, it's not okay, and it's not whatever. It is Christ and Christ alone. Some people would even have you think that that's hate speech. It's not hate speech. It's love speech from God. It's very important that people understand that. So now some of these people may actually touch the lives of unbelievers, as hopefully we're going to touch the lives of unbelievers, but do it in such a way as they grow in their understanding of who they are in the Lord. You see, there are unbelievers in every corner of the earth, and they need to be sought out, to be told of their salvation. Now you say, wait a minute, what do you mean told of their salvation? My friends, Jesus paid the price for the whole field. The salvation is a gift. It's there. It's just waiting for them to accept it. That's it. They need to accept it. You see? So these people need to know that it is there. So there are unbelievers in every corner, and they need to be sought out and told of their salvation. And then they need to be told of their pasture. You see, they need to graze somewhere on the good meat, the good food of the gospel, of the scriptures that God has sent to us so that we can do that. And that is a grazing process. My friends, we don't just get born and then eat one meal and then live on year after year after year. We would starve to death. There are many people who have come to Christ who are still trying to get nutrition from their first meal or two. And years have passed. Many people have heard it, but they haven't come. In this case, we're talking about unbelievers. They've come. They don't even know that there is salvation for them. They don't have any idea where the pasture is where they could graze. And they have no idea what their place in Christ is in His kingdom. We must reach out to the unbeliever, the believer alike who's isolated. We must get this message to them. We must help them to understand that they are not alone. They are not victims. They are a part of something. And that something is God, is something that God put together for them to help them function and to do His will and to find true happiness, peace, and love in this life. You see, by following in the seeking, relating, and renewing process personally and in aiding others, we prove by demonstration what is good, acceptable, and perfect in the will of God. Let me say that again. I want you to get this. By flowing in the seeking, relating, and renewing process personally and in aiding others, we prove by demonstration what is good, acceptable, and perfect in the will of God. Yes, I said prove and demonstrate. We prove who and what we are to the unbeliever by the doing. The doing is demonstrating the work of Christ on the cross and in us by His Holy Spirit. Now, what do I mean by in us? You know, there are things that we can do with the power of the Holy Spirit in us that we could not do. If you look in the Old Testament, you can see that there was a man named Samson. And Samson took the jawbone of a donkey and killed a whole passel of people with that. That's something a person couldn't do in their own power. A prophet ran 21 miles outrunning the horses of the king, which would have been the fastest horses in the land. How did he do that? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, anointing him and causing him to be able to do something he could not do. My friend, if you're a believer and you're listening to this, I need to tell you something. If the things that you're doing for God are not things that are bigger than you can do, you need to start doing things bigger than you can do so God can prove Himself faithful and get the glory. All the time people are saying to me, oh, don't give me any glory for what I do. Don't give me any glory for what I do. Let me tell you something. You're not going to have to worry about if people are going to give you the glory if you're doing something far beyond what any other human being could possibly accomplish. Because you don't have to explain to people it was God. They know it was God. If you went out here and you were able to jump across the Grand Canyon, I'm telling you, at its widest point, there's nobody you would have to say to them, oh, don't give me the glory. They'd all know it had to be God. Because that's just not something that people can do. You see, it's just not something that we could do without the intervention being divine. You see, this is how God demonstrates or proves His existence, power, and faithfulness to the unbeliever. God wants to use you to prove who He is to the unbeliever. When we give out the gospel, the good news, it separates the spirit from the mind, the soul. And then that's a supernatural thing because that's something that we can't do with our words. But God will honor His words and He will show Himself powerful. And that's when those people will find themselves in a position where they will either accept or reject what the gospel is telling them. But then beyond that, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that's when God gets to demonstrate. He gets to prove His existence. He proves it through us and the things that we do. He proves it because we are able to do things. We lay hands on someone and they're healed. We're doing something everybody knows we can't do. But I will tell you, still people will try to say, well, this person must be holier than the other guy. That's why it happened. No, it happened because God moves through someone. Because to say that then, to say that if they laid hands on somebody and nothing happened, then you'd have to say they had failed. You see, That's not the case. It is God who demonstrates himself, but he demonstrates himself quite often, most often, through us. Now, I understand you could say, well, the sun came up this morning. That's a great demonstration of God, by the way. Because the whole universe, the scripture tells us, is held together by the word of God. So if you look out there, you'll see, wow, God really demonstrates himself. But understand, deceived people look at that and say, well, it just happened by accident. If you've got a grandfather clock or some big clock in your home that has a lot of gears and weights and pulleys and things of this sort, and it works, who in their right mind would say, well, that just accidentally came together and stood over there in the corner? I don't think anybody would. But yet they can see all the workings of the universe and say, well, that was just an accident. It just all sort of fell together by accident somehow. Do you realize what the odds are on that? Slim and none. But you see, when God spoke it into existence, he created a great and wonderful thing, and he put us here to be on top on this planet. We are the top of his creation here. Now, some people would tell you that the planet's the top of the creation and that man's the bottom. And if all the men and women on the planet were just killed off, the planet would be better off. No, we weren't put here to serve the planet. The planet was put here to serve us. Now, we have to tend it. Do you see how easy it is for people to just simply to be just bilked into believing something that's just really kind of foolish? But it just sounds so good until they hear the other side. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs, it talks about that one man's story sounds pretty good until the other guy speaks up in court. Well, what we have going on in the world today is we have everybody who's anti-God speaking up real loudly, and the people who are for God, they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to talk to anybody about Jesus because it might offend them. Have you noticed that everybody who is not of God has no problem offending you? They don't think twice about it. Why do they not think twice about it? Because they think you're stupid. They just flat out think you're stupid. You see, unbelievers are deceived people. Well, it's our job to speak the word of truth into their lives and to demonstrate the power of that word every day in our lives. That's our function. And to do this, we have to start searching out every corner of the pasture, every part of the pasture that God has placed us in. And we've got to find out who the isolates are out there, the ones who are isolated from the body, and bring them back into the body. And then we also have to find out who's out there in that field that Jesus paid the price for, but they are unbelievers. They don't know that they can have everything that God wants them to have because no one's told them. No one's demonstrated it to them. We must tell and we must demonstrate and we must search out every corner of the pasture he's given us. Now, what's your pasture? Wherever you are, your pasture may be your family. The pasture you need to search out. Now, I'm not saying pastor here. I'm saying pasture, a place of grazing. You need to graze through your whole neighborhood and see who needs what. You need to look at where you work, and you need to be speaking into the lives of people there. Now, obviously, we have to be mannerly, and we have to be proper, and we have to show the kindness of God in the process. But, my friends, we cannot just be quiet as the things of God are torn down, torn apart in people's thinking and minds, and they are even more deceived in unbelief. We cannot tolerate that. You see, it is through our doing that God demonstrates and proves his existence, his power, his faithfulness. And how does he do it? He proves it to the unbeliever, and while he's proving it to the unbeliever, he encourages the believer, edifies the believer, builds up the believer doing it and every other believer around them. With what? Testimonies. We have church service after church service and church service in the United States and other places around the world, particularly in Western Europe, where they don't even know what a testimony is. You never hear them. that must be changed. And who changes it? We do. Everyone in the sound of my voice are the ones who are called to change it. If you weren't called to change it, you probably wouldn't be in the sound of my voice. Because that's my purpose here, is to bring this to the forefront so that people understand it. So I say, commit yourself to function in God's plan and cover every corner of the pasture you've been given, the neighborhood, the workplace, or the world. And that's my message to you in this session. Cover every corner, every bit of the pasture you've been placed in by God. You were placed here by God. You're not where you are by accident. No matter what you think, you're not there by accident. Now, if you've never accepted Christ, and you say, boy, you make it sound like there's some real stuff going on there. There's some real power. There's some real authority. Something good could happen there, and I want this Jesus that you're talking about. Well, you can have him. All you have to do is go to the throne. Go to the throne with me right now. That's right. Pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I come to the throne right now in Jesus' name, boldly. Your word says I can come boldly, and I am coming boldly. And I'm saying I want all there is of Jesus in my life. I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Right now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you already know if you've done this before, and you feel like you've just really kind of slacked off, backed off, and not been where you ought to be doing what you think you were meant to do, then you go to the throne too, and you tell the Father the same sorts of things. I'm sorry that I've missed the mark. I've fallen short. I've not done what you wanted me to do. You need some help? We'll be glad to help you. In the United States, you can just phone us, 800-391-6944. And you can even Google that number or put it in some search engine, and you're going to get our website that way. Just last night, I was talking to someone on the telephone, and they said, well, you know, because I was telling them sojournershub.org, and they said, well, I've forgotten how you spell sojourners. And I said, just put in 800-391-6944. That'll get it. And sure enough, they did, and there it was. But if you want to send us an email, you can do that at the Sojourner, sojournershub.org. And Sojourner is spelled S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R. That's the Sojourner at sojournershub.org. You can also reach us through Skype on the Internet, and that is the Sojourner 3734. Well, I hope this has helped you. I hope this has caused you to think. Most of all, I hope this has caused you to commit or recommit your life to doing the thing that Christ wants you to do, to be in His kingdom, the kingdom of the blessing, living your life out in power and authority and in the blessing. That's His desire. That's what He wants. That's what I want for you too. I want it for you because that's what the Lord wants for you. So do feel free to contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Now with this blessing on you, we'll conclude this broadcast. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that's yours by blood, adoption, or assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.